See, when you are criticized, the worst thing you can do is have a pity party, get angry, or quit. That when you are criticized, that ought to motivate you to answer your critic with a Jesus.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we continue our series titled, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Criticism, Thin Skin Leads to Sin.
Somebody said that if you want to avoid criticism, do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. That if you will follow that pattern, then you will not be criticized. There was a married couple who were sitting in their living room one evening, and the husband looked over to his wife and he said, "Do you mind if I point out a few of your obvious faults?" And she said, "Certainly not, because I'm sure it was those faults that prevented me from marrying a better husband." One lady who was in the congregation was known to be a complainer and was very critical of things that went on in the church. She came to her pastor one day and she said, "Pastor, there's something about me that offends you." The pastor replied, "Well, I don't want to be offensive to anybody. What is it that I do that offends you?" And she said, "It's the way you wear your tie." And he said, "The way I wear my tie, what do you mean?" She said, "Well, when you tie your tie, it hangs 3 inches below your belt. And that when you tie a tie, it's supposed to come even with your belt." And so the pastor said, "Well, I'm sorry that I offended you." And he reached into his drawer and he pulled out a pair of scissors. And he gave it to the lady and he said, "Well, you go ahead and cut my tie the length that it's supposed to be." And so she cut it right even with his belt, and he said, "Does that make you feel better?" And she said, "It sure does." And she was about to walk out the door, and the pastor says, "There's something about you that offends me." And the lady said, "Pertell, what is it?" And the pastor said, "It's your tongue. Can you stick it out, please?" Criticism. To avoid criticism, do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. What is criticism? Criticism is the act of finding fault or pointing out somebody's faults. That whenever we criticize or we are criticized, that means that somebody has found a fault and they have pointed it out to us. Now, when we think about criticism, there are actually three types of criticism. There is constructive criticism, there is unproductive criticism, and there is destructive criticism. What is constructive criticism? Well, constructive criticism is when you point out a fault to help a person get better. That your heart is in the right place, and you are sharing something with another individual because you want to see them be right. Now, this is clearly seen a lot of times between a husband and wife, that a wife will point out something to her husband because she wants him to be at his best. I know one of the things that my wife always tells me, she says, "Bill, before you go to preach," now I'm just telling y'all that, y'all gonna say, "Come on, Pastor, you shouldn't be sharing that from the pulpit," but I'll share it. She said, "Check your nose and check your teeth." Now, is she saying that because she's trying to be mean? Or is she saying that because she's trying to be critical? She says that because she loves me and she wants me to be my best as I stand before people. And so that is constructive criticism, and that when people love us and they want us to be right, that they will share with us something that's wrong or a fault that they see in us so that we can correct it and be better off as a result of it. There's what I call unproductive criticism. And that is criticism where the faults and failures of another is pointed out because somebody didn't agree with an action or some words that they said. For instance, you know, I had the opportunity last night to do a chapel for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, you know, went down there and, you know, there was just a bunch of people all over the place. They had it at the William Penn. And, I mean, there was people everywhere. And as I finished the chapel, I came out and I thought about all these people standing out there, right? And I said, what's going to happen on Monday morning? We will have Monday morning quarterbacks, right? And they will be what? Will they be praising? I mean, especially if the brothers lose, right? There's going to be critical people. And they're going to be saying, well, why did Tomlin do this? Or why didn't he do that? Or how come Ben didn't do this? Or how come the defense didn't do this? And so that's what I call unproductive criticism, where people just have something to say about a situation and they are pointing out the faults of other people, and it really is unproductive. Well, you know, what good does it do that when I, and again, tomorrow morning, there's going to be a lot of talk, right, about what takes place today. But when I sit and I analyze and I say they should have did this and I say they should have did that, what in the world does that produce? Other than the fact that I'm just flapping my gums and flapping my tongue. Other than that, it doesn't mean one thing. It's not going to change one thing that they do. And so that's why I call that unproductive criticism. And so many of us engage in unproductive criticism. But perhaps the most devastating criticism is destructive criticism. And that is where people criticize with the intention to hurt or inflict pain upon a person. If an employee is jealous of another employee, he or she may criticize that employee in order to tear them down and make them look bad in front of other people. That's destructive criticism. And there's a whole lot of that going on. And I pray to God that that is not your testimony, that as you sit here today, I pray that you are not involved in destructive criticism, where you are tearing people down, where you are criticizing people with the objective of inflicting pain, making them look bad, so that oftentimes that you can look good. Now, as we think about criticism, how do we respond to criticism? How do people respond to criticism? Well, actually, there's four ways that people respond to criticism. When you are criticized, that there are four ways that you respond to criticism. The first way many people respond is just to have a pity party. That after they are criticized, they go into a period of mourning. They allow themselves to be affected by the criticism, and they start to feel sorry for themselves, and they have this big pity party, and they send out invitations to all their friends. Now, at this pity party, right, you dress up for the pity party. And what do you dress up? In your pajamas and slippers. In this pity party, you fix your hair up. And how do you do it? You don't comb it. You don't do anything. You just let it go wild. At this pity party, it's just you, and if you can send out some invitations and get a few people to come along with you, then you invite them to your pity party. Why? Because you have been criticized, and it's poor me. Woe is me, for I am undone. That you did something that somebody found something wrong with. That you did something that somebody found a fault, and now, you know, the whole world is against you. And you just get into this big state of depression. How do you know? How do I know? We've all been there. We've all been criticized and we've all had a pity party. All right, now that is an improper response to criticism. A second response is that people will respond in anger, and that is they will get upset. That when they are criticized, they want now to be avenged of the situation. That they've been wounded, they've been hurt, and now they want to lash out. They want to make the other person feel bad. They want to inflict some pain upon the other person. And so that is an improper response. A third response that, and I've seen this, and sad to say, man, I sad to say that I've seen this so many times in the church. And that is when people are criticized, they get upset and they get discouraged and they quit. Now, I don't understand that right there. I remember when I was growing up, you know, we would play street basketball, we would play street football, or we would play street baseball. And, you know, some of the guys that we hung out with, you know, they were blessed and they were fortunate to be able to bring the ball, whether it was a football, a basketball, or a baseball, right? And we would get out there, man, we'd be having a game, and then all of a sudden, you know, the guy that had owned the ball, they might throw the ball to him and he would drop it, and everybody start criticizing, oh, come on, man, can't you catch? And what would he do? He'd get mad, take his ball, and go home. Now, a lot of Christians in the church, they don't have a ball to take, so they just get mad and go home. Now, that's an improper response when you've been criticized. That's not the way to handle criticism. Now, what is the best way to handle criticism? The best way to handle it is to answer back with achievement. That whenever you've been criticized, that should just put something in your spirit to say that I'm going to do whatever I got to do to make this thing right. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to make this thing work. Turn to the book of Nehemiah. Let me show you a powerful illustration in the book of Nehemiah. And would to God that this illustration is burned in your mind and is burned in your heart. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. And we all know the story about Nehemiah, how that he was in captivity and God called him from captivity to go back and rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. And so he went back and he began to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. And as he was rebuilding the wall, look what it says in verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and felt great indignation and mocked the Jews and spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, well, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish, seeing that they are burned? So here's Sanballat. He's criticizing. He's being critical of what Nehemiah is doing. Now look, here goes somebody named Tobiah, and look what he's going to do. He's not only going to be critical, but he's going to make fun of what Nehemiah is doing. He says, Tobiah the Ammonite was sent by him and said, even that which they build, if a fox goes up on it, he shall break down the stone wall. So he's trying to be funny, right? He's saying that what you're putting up is so flimsy and so feeble that if a fox goes up on it, he's going to cause it to fall down. So here's Nehemiah, the object of criticism. Have you ever been here before? Have you ever tried to do something where you've given your heart, you've given your spirit, that you know that it was something that God called you to do? And somebody come along and they criticize you, and not only did they criticize you, but they made fun of you. And so here we see this is the case with Nehemiah. Now turn to Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15. Now remember all this criticizing and ridicule that Nehemiah was dealing with. It says, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul, in what? In what? 52 days he finished the wall. Now we're talking about a city that was miles in diameter. In 52 days, they built the wall. How did Nehemiah answer his critics? With accomplishment, with achievement. See, when you are criticized, the worst thing you can do is have a pity party, get angry, or quit. that when you are criticized, that ought to motivate you to answer your critics with achievement. As I was preparing for this sermon, I read this article, and it said after one of Abraham Lincoln's speeches, a newspaper in Chicago wrote a scathing editorial, and a part of the editorial said this: the cheeks of every American should be red with shame at the silly, washed-out utterance of the man who was introduced to foreigners as the President of the United States. They said, basically went on to tear Lincoln down for his speech, to criticize him and to degrade him because of this speech that he gave. Now, you know what that speech later on became to be known as? The Gettysburg Address. The Gettysburg Address. How did Lincoln answer his critics? He answered them with achievement. He answered them with success. And would to God that we would learn how to do that. Now, I was thinking about putting the fifth way up there, and I said, well, no, I'm not going to put that up there. So I just, because I don't want you to have that in your notes. But the fifth way, I thought, you know, that when you are criticized, you could answer with sarcasm. And in preparation for the message again, you know, and this goes to show that this is not the way that we should do it, because this is not going to solve anything. But Winston Churchill, who was always in conflict with somebody, one of the people that he was in contact with was a lady by the name of Bessie Braddock. And it's obvious on one occasion that Churchill had been drinking and even probably had gotten to the point where he was drunk. And Bessie saw Churchill and she said, Winston, in a voice of rebuke, you are drunk. To which Churchill replied, certainly I'm drunk, but you are ugly. And in the morning I'll be sober. On another occasion, Churchill was criticized by Lady Astor, and they were always in confrontation. And Astor, who was frustrated as a result of an argument that they were having, she said, if you were my husband, I would put poison in your coffee. And Churchill said, my dear, if you were my wife, I would drink it. So again, many people are sarcastic, right, when they are criticized. But that's the wrong response. It's a wrong response to be sarcastic, that whenever you are criticized, the best thing that you can do is answer with achievement. Let me share with you 10 commandments of handling criticism. The 10 commandments of handling criticism. As I was meditating and thinking, well, how how can we handle criticism? That whenever we are criticized, what's the best way to handle it? And these are the 10 things that I came up with. First thing is to take into account the messenger. Who is the one that's bringing the criticism? What is the source of the criticism? See, if the criticism is coming from an angry, bitter person, then that ought to tell you something right there. That ought to tell you how valid the criticism is. When the criticism comes from a negative source, somebody, you know, and I get stuff all the time. Believe me, I get stuff all the time. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I might be giving away one of my secrets, but I'm just going to be honest. I consider the source. That's the first thing I do. I consider the source, and that helps me deal with a lot of criticism. That helps me deal with a whole lot of criticism. And you know, if you're just dealing with people who are negative, who are angry, and who are bitter, sometimes they just want to use you as a whipping boy, or they want to use you as somebody that they can take 40 stripes out on your back, right? And they just got to get it out. And I just say in my mind, y'all forgive me, right? I just say in my mind, well, you know, this person just needed to get a piece of my flesh. That's what they needed to do. And I understand that, and that's cool. But it don't, you know, it doesn't enter into my spirit. It doesn't wound my soul. Because if I let that happen, then, you know, I would spend all the time dealing with, you know, how to keep people happy and how to walk this fine line so that you don't upset anybody. You know, I was at a seminar here at the church one time, and I remember there was a slogan that I saw. And I said, man, that's powerful. It said, the nail that stands the tallest gets pounded the hardest. And I said, man, that's so true. The nail that stands the tallest gets pounded the hardest. And you know, anytime, again, if you don't want to be criticized, say nothing, do nothing, and be nothing. But anytime that you step out and you start doing something, somebody is going to be upset with what you do. Somebody's not going to like the way that you do it. And so we need to realize that whenever criticism comes our way, that we need to identify the source. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was preaching one time. And after he got finished preaching, somebody sent a note up. And he opened it, and it said, "Fool." And Spurgeon read it, and he got back up, and he said, "I've gotten a lot of notes in my day where people wrote a note and didn't sign it. This time somebody wrote a note and signed their name and didn't." See, you know, sometimes you got to consider the source. The second thing is that you have to take into account the motive. Why is this person criticizing me? And you know, sometimes people criticize because they're trying to manipulate and get their way. Now, you know, all of us have experienced somebody who has criticized us. And the reason that they criticized us is because they wanted us, watch this now, to adopt their suggestions or ideas. And so they criticize us because they're trying to manipulate you. And so you got to, again, as you deal with criticism, you got to ask the question, is this some criticism that I need to take into consideration, or is this a person that's just trying to manipulate me? I was reading about a husband and wife, and they said that they learned to ignore their children's behavior when they were toddlers, when they finally realized that their boys had discovered that if they just complained and whined and moaned, that the parents would address their situation. But whenever the parents saw that these children were just whining for the sake of whining, they ignored them, and guess what? They stopped. And so sometimes, but what were those children trying to do? Those children had realized, watch this, they realized they could manipulate their parents. They realized that if they whined and if they cried, that their parents would get tired of hearing it and do something about it. What is that? That's manipulation. And so we might not have on diapers and be sucking the pacifier, but what do? Sometimes we moan and we complain and we criticize. And why do we do that? We do.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Criticism: Thin Skin Leads to Sin. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Criticism: Thin Skin Leads to Sin, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Criticism: Thin Skin Leads to Sin. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Criticism: Thin Skin Leads to Sin. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.